Good morning.
Good morning.
We'd like to thank the good Lord that you have arrived safely. And also would like to, I would like to apologize to you really. After I got out on the road myself, I thought, are you crazy? Because I know the road between here and Franklin was in pretty bad shape. And so if any of you did more than what you should have in order to get here, I'm sorry for that. So we'll try to do better in our judgment for that in the future. But we are thankful that you're here today. We praise the Lord for you. And the Lord has been good to us this week. He really has. And we are thankful that he has been. The Lord's favor has shined upon us, and we are truly blessed to be one of his children. Just to be able to call the child of the King is wonderful. To be joint heirs with Jesus Christ of the wonders of heaven, I tell you, that's a glorious thing. And we too are heavy hearted this morning, even still, you know, over what we've experienced this past week. And we were at the Edinburgh ball game last night, and one of Randy's favorite things to do to me was while we would sit there, and they would go around and collect for the 50-50 tickets. We'd sit there, and when they'd read the numbers for the 50-50 ticket, and Randy would always say, "Guy just won. Guy just won the 50-50. Go get your money, guy." He'd do that all the time. Get a pretty good little laugh out of it. But we're thankful for memories, and we're thankful for what the Lord has given to us in our life, and how he's just given so very much. And I consider him treasures, and I consider him riches beyond understanding. And that's what we're going to speak a few minutes about this morning, is about riches. Who's rich? Are you rich today? Do you consider yourself rich? And we even kind of brought that up with the kids this morning a little bit, and about what their thought of riches are. And you know, a lot of times when we ask that question, especially if you're here at church, you know, you're going to get the church answer. When you ask somebody, you know, what do you consider somebody that is rich? Really, what do you consider? Now, if you're here at church, you're going to get the church answer. You know, everybody's going to say, well, you know, we're rich in love, and we're rich in spirit. We're rich in the grace of God, and we're rich in faith and in great things. You know, we get outside of church, and a lot of times let me see. Boy, I tell you, that Powerball or that jackpot was up to almost $1 billion. I believe I would consider that to be pretty rich right there. And I guess if you were looking at it from a world standpoint, yes, you know, that is a very large amount of money. Or maybe, you know, you're desiring a nicer car or a bigger house, and many different things that we would consider that would make us maybe seem or think that we are richer than what we had before. And we sometimes don't look at it as the way that we probably should look at it as much as what we do, because our life will show that forth. It really will. It'll show forth what it is that what we possess, and what we consider to be riches, and what we really consider to be rich in. The Bible tells us exactly that, you know, that what we possess is where we lay our treasure up, and that's some of the scripture we're going to read. We're going to read from a few different places this morning, but we're going to begin in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus is giving his Sermon on the Mount and giving some heavenly instructions here on treasures, what we should do with them and what we shouldn't do with them. But we have to look at the way in which that he's talking about and the treasures that he's talking about, because that's so important in life, that we define what it is that truly is our treasure and what is really important to us. Because sometimes I know I can do this. I get them kind of mixed up sometimes what I think is most important, what I think is really my treasure. You know, what really am I after? What is my goal in life? What is my desire? What is my determination to really work for, to strive for? Sometimes it can be wavered. Sometimes, you know, whenever we look out at the world and we see all these things, I mean, whose mind, if you think about possessions, and hey, I think about possessions. I think about having things. I think about getting things. Who doesn't think for just a few moments? Who doesn't contemplate when you hear of, such large amounts of money of what they are, if anybody wanted, was going to give out in this little Powerball thing? I think they said with one lump sum amount, it was like $598 million. What would you buy with $598 million? Besides maybe a whole lot of trouble. Do you think about that? You ever hear about what happens to a lot of people that get and gain, come into a lot of a large sum of money, what happens to them? I tell you, it's not usually a very pretty thing. Because you'll find out that you've got all kinds of relatives that you didn't have a clue that you knew about. Do you know that? Everybody's going to come out of the woodwork. They're all going to want a piece of your pie. If you ain't got a pie, there ain't nobody going to bother you, are they? But here we got to look at, what is your treasure? What is most important to you? What is it that you're doing with it? And how are you going to enjoy it? It says here in verse number 19 in that sixth chapter of Matthew's gospel, it says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And we think about that, about where is our treasure at? Where do we lay up that treasure? And what treasures are they talking about here? Well, the one is down here on this earth, and he's thinking about materialistic things, things that we have here, things that we would lay our treasure down here. And we realize that if we have here possessions upon this world, they're subject to all different kinds of things. And they can be stolen. They can be taken. They're possessions that are not even ours, to be honest with you. I mean, we're just borrowing them anyway. And if they are, you think that they are yours, just wait until you leave this life. Because believe me, most of what's going to happen is your family's going to fight over them. I mean, we see that all the time, you know, where people have saved their whole life and they've gained so many great things in this world, and they've done all that they can to gain, maybe even for that purpose, is to hand down to those generations of people that were going to be given those things. And then we see some of the most horrible things, and I have seen that, in families that you would never think for a second that would happen, but you see that people start getting greedy then. You see, that's a lot of times when we think about the treasure here, if we're not careful, we can do that right. We can get into a place of where greed has a problem. I told the young people this morning, I said, you know, when we started talking about bad things, and some of them were saying that money was a bad thing. And I guess maybe they thought that I was kind of leaning that way when we was talking about where we lay our treasure at, and these things down here just aren't that important, and we shouldn't really hang a whole lot of notion upon those things because they come and go so quickly in our life. So they kind of got that impression maybe that money just wasn't that important. And they're right, money is not that important. But money can be an evil thing. Because that's what the Bible tells us. It says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And if we're not careful, we can be consumed by that. I hope that there's no one here that is in that shape to where that every day and every moment of every day and all their time, they're totally consumed and just concerned with, what are they going to lay aside here? What are they going to build up here in this world? What are we going to get right here for this moment and for this time that's coming down the road? How many parables do we read throughout this precious book right here that tells us, you know, about that people that have laid up treasure and that they have get much gain and they've put it aside for this certain particular point of time and they're waiting to enjoy their life and they're ready to really have a good time right here whenever they're able to get a hold of that. after they've done everything they could to build this up. The Bible tells us a lot of times that those days don't come. Those moments don't come where they can do exactly what it is that their whole life was consumed about. They laid their treasure up here. And then it came down to the end of the day, it didn't mean anything. It doesn't amount to anything. It's about what we lay up in heaven, my friends. That is the most important thing. And I hope that we understand that in this life. It's not always, you know, when we think about laying up treasure, and I know sometimes we can always get in this little box of thinking that it's always just about money. It's always about consumption. It's always about the material things. But I tell you, we can store a lot of other things in the little treasure box if we're not careful. It doesn't also ever always mean that it's just about money. A lot of times people hold the prestige of life very highly upon themselves. And they'll do all that they can to receive recognition about everything that they can. Recognize me for this and recognize me for that. And, you know, and if I have this, then surely, you know, they will respect me. Surely that they will honor me. A lot of people do that. A lot of people get greedy in life. They want everything, and they want all of yours, and they want all of theirs. They want everything that they can get. They just want everything. Some people can be prideful, that they're just happy with, proud of the things and the possessions that they have. And they lift themselves up, and they think that they are just a little bit more than what they probably should. At least that's what the Bible tells us here. Where do we lay up our treasure? What is our treasure? What is it that we are shooting for in this life? What is it that we're looking for? What are we going for? Here over in Isaiah, he gives us, I've always enjoyed these two verses, Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 and 2, when he's talking about a treasure, when he's talking about great gain and great wealth, great things that we can possess. When we think about that here, we sometimes think about, well, we've got to have so much in order to gain. You know, we've got to have this in order to buy and consume and to have this and maybe to gain profit from that. But he says here in that, he said in the first verse, "Ho, stop and listen. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." Now, what is it here that Isaiah is trying to get us to see? That there is a riches, and that there is a treasure that is so much greater and so much better than the things that maybe we would look for here upon the face of this earth. And hopefully, as we are, I assume, as I look out over this congregation this morning, that most of us are all Christians today. And I believe that with all my heart. But I've got to also allow us to understand that if we're not careful, we can allow ourselves to get sidetracked a little bit in life. That we can allow ourselves to get off center and to look upon things a little bit more so than what we should. Because here it says that the most important things in life that we need to look for, the most important things in life that we need to gain in here, it's not about the consumption. It's not about the things that we've got here in order to buy and to get gain from those things. Isn't that what he meant about laying up treasures in heaven? He means don't worry so much about the things here, but be looking to the things that you need that's going to get you eternal life. Look at the things that's going to get you a spiritualness in this world, a spirituality about growing and prospering in Christ. I'm not saying that, I don't want anybody to ever think that I believe that material things are wrong. I believe God has blessed you and he has given you and he's allowed you to get these things. But what we do with them does make a difference. How that we look at them and what we do with them and where that we lay them and how that we protect them and how that we lay them up and think that they are above so many other things, it does make a difference. Don't we believe that we need to be just and righteous stewards of what God has given to us? I believe that's very, very important. I mean, with the Bible, and I believe with what has been said is, you know, with what is given to us, there's a lot of responsibility to that which that God has given to us.
It does make a difference in what we do with those things. And if we just take those things, I believe one of the worst things that I believe God would want us to do is to take the things that He has blessed us with, stick it over here in the mud someplace, cover it up, and leave it buried, and just hope, and just hope, and just wait, and just wait, and just let it sit there and not do anything with it. Not try to lift up somebody, not try to help somebody, not try to bless somebody by God. We don't think that for a moment the thing that He possessed and gave to us here and that we hid and that we dug and we buried it in the dirt, we don't think for a moment that He couldn't just supply that as needed. Where do we lay up our treasure? What do we do with our treasure? What is a treasure? How are you rich today? How are you rich today? How do you view being rich? Is it the things of this world? How does it view riches today? We're going to turn to Proverbs for a few minutes. Over here in the 13th chapter. What is the book of Proverbs? It has a lot to say about riches. Here in chapter number 13, verse number 7. It says, "There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches." Now, what in the world is he saying? What is it that he's trying to let us to know here? Because it kind of seems like he's saying the opposite of what it is that maybe sometimes that the world, we know that what the world thinks. They think that, you know, when you've got more, then you are rich. That you have more, that you are more blessed if you've got more. And if you got less, well, then you're not quite so blessed. But I believe that the writer here is trying to get us to see that, you know, it's not always like that. It's not always viewed that way according to the way that it should be viewed. Is that there is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There are those that continually strive and try to get gain, to lift themselves up, and that is what their life is about. That it's all about work. It's all about gain. And I'm not saying we have to provide. We have to survive. We've got to provide and we've got to survive in this world. But if our life is consumed about nothing more than getting gain, to laying up the treasure here, to make everything profitable by here, what is he saying right here? He hath nothing. If our life is just about getting gain for here, we don't have anything. But then he goes on and he says, "There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches." Maketh himself poor, but yet hath great riches. What do you think that maybe that's trying to tell us? Maybe the things that we have here are not so much important that we wouldn't use them for the glory of the Lord, and that we have riches, but it's in a much greater place, a much more safer place, one that where people's not going to come and quite steal it as the Bible would reference it. When we lay up our treasure in heaven, you know, again, we asked the kids today about what treasure would be laid up in heaven. I tell you, I just love their answers. Just love their answers. You know, they started talking about family members, about loved ones, about people that they've come in contact with and people that they cherish in their life. That a lot of them, that was their treasure. Isn't that beautiful? For children to think that the best treasure that they could come up with is their loved ones and their family. Isn't that the way to view it? Isn't that the way to see it? Isn't that the way that we should acknowledge that? Those are the most precious things in our life is what we've got as far as our loved ones and our family members. Those are the treasures that we've got. How blessed that we are. Over here in the, again in Proverbs chapter 11. In verse 28. "He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch." Again, reiterating the very same things that we're trying to get us to see and to understand, that if it's about riches here, if it's about the materialistic things of this life that we are consumed with. Now, I'm not saying that we're not concerned with, or that we're not understandably acknowledging that is necessary in our life. But whenever I say consume, whenever that is all that matters to us, when that is all that we think about is gain and lifting up the things of this world for my sake, for what that I want, what makes me are these things. If that is how that we view it and how that we see it, I told them a lot of times, I said, you know, whenever we think about treasures, I think about maybe somebody's got a house and they want a nicer, bigger house, or they've got a car and they want a nicer, bigger car, or I look over at my neighbor and I like their car. I want a car just like their cars, or better yet, why don't I just take their car? Hey, it's all fair, isn't it? It's all right, isn't it? I mean, after all, that's going to help me to get some gain. That's going to build up my treasure, isn't it? You see, that's just how that the world sees things and views things. Do we not think that doesn't happen? I guarantee you that happens. What are we doing with our treasure? What is it that we consider to be a treasure? What do we consider it to be our riches in this world? What do you consider to be your riches in this world? And just give yourself the honest answer. And how do you do that? How do you give yourself the honest answer? Look at your own life, and you will find the honest answer. Got to look at your own life. You can't listen to what I say. You can't even listen a lot of times to what you say yourself. You have to look at your own life and see what it is that you're doing, because where our heart is where our treasure is. And where our heart is where our treasure is. And we'll act out of the abundance of the heart. We'll do with it as what we are really consumed with, and what our judgment is, and what we desire is. So all you have to do is look at your life and see what you're striving for. Look what your consumption is, what you desire more than anything. Where are you laying up your treasure at? He that trusteth in his riches shall fall. If we're relying upon this place, wow, we are so saddened. But the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Doesn't that tell us about the spiritual side of life that is so much more important? It'll flourish, it'll grow, it'll prosper. It will have profit, it will have purpose, it will have seeds, it will grow, it will make so much more. And again, and again, and again, it'll do that. That is where the treasure is. That is where the riches are. Okay, again, over here in Proverbs 18:24. And we read this one the other day. And just to kind of, I noticed something the other day, and whenever I was thinking about all this and deciding and about what our riches, what our treasures, what is so important, and you know, for so much of my life I've had it so wrong. So wrong. I thought it was about so many other things. And this verse right here, a man that hath friends must shew himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know, I'm so thankful that I have the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in my life, and that he does stick closer to me than any person, any being, any whatever possibly could be in this whole universe. He is closer to me than anything that ever could be. And he is my treasure. He is my riches in my life. But I viewed something the other day that kind of put things in context to me a little bit greater, a little bit better, a little bit more meaningful. And, you know, I always looked at Brother Randy and always thought that he was a good man. I believe he was a great man, a good man. Randy wasn't nothing special when you look out into this world as far as prestige or as far as pride or as far as great wealth and treasures as people would view it here in this world. He didn't have all of those things. His life wasn't about those things. But what I seen was probably the richest man that I'd ever seen before in my life. When I watched and I seen and I viewed what came through this church the other night and what happened at that service the other day, when I seen the amount of people that came through here to honor his life because of the way that he shown his love towards others, I thought, can you be any richer than that? Is there any other way possibly to show your great wealth than to see and witness things like that? So what do we do with our wealth? What do we do with what we consider to be rich? And are we dealing it the right way? Are we using it in the right way? And you know, I said something in that funeral that was so true about him. He never generalized people. If you ever noticed that about him, believe me, he was a big crack up. You guys know that. If you know Randy, you know that. He was a big cut up. He really was. But he never generalized any one person or any group of people and put them all in a classification. If he had something funny to say, it was about you. It was all about you. And he'd say it. But then it would make you feel special. It would make you have a connection with him. And it made you feel like his friend. That is a treasure, my friend, to be able to give out into this world, to be able to have that ability to. That is rich, isn't it? Isn't that rich? That is precious in this world. Because you've heard me say this, and you've heard others say this before, people don't care what you think until they know how much you care. They don't care what you think. They don't care what you have to say until they know how much that you care about them. That is how that we reach out into that. That is how that we use the great wealth that we have. How is that wealth, Brother Guy? How is that wealth in our life? Well, because if we have the attributes of Jesus in us, and if we allow those things to abound in our life, like the scripture tells us, allow those things to abound in our life and to use them out into this world to reach people, not to be thumpers upon the head. we don't have to beat people with this thing, but just be their friend. Just love them and just be honest with them. Isn't that the greatest thing that we've got? Is the love that Jesus has given to us, and that we would give it to all those that we would come in contact with as Lord would direct them into our life. And I know that we get busy. Who doesn't get busy in this world? And sometimes we overlook those opportunities and those times because our mind is consumed. In this day and age, wow. When has our minds been any more busy in society and just in the world view and vision? When is our mind any more consumed and just thrown with so many things to think about all the time? I mean, you've got everything. And of course, the more, and I view them too. I mean, the electronical things that we have in life, hey, there are more and more things that consume our mind and our time. And we sometimes lose track of what we're being consumed with. You know, I always said that whenever texting came out, I thought, you know, that's got to be the silliest thing in the world. And I still think it's pretty, really kind of silly. But I always said, I am not going to be doing that stuff. I am not going to be doing that texting. That's just crazy. You can call somebody on the telephone and talk to them. Why would you spend twice as much time trying to type something on something and send it to them? I'm not going to do that. Well, if you got kids, you're going to do that. If you live in this world now, you're pretty much going to do that. That's just part of life now. That's just part of life. So we don't really understand sometimes what we're going to be led into in order to take some of our own control. We have control over these things, but we can allow those things, if we're not careful, to consume us. We are rich. We are rich. If you're a Christian today, you are rich with what God has given to you. The attributes, the inner quality that is of Jesus that he has given to us. But those things, they have to abound in our life. If we have to use them, we have to practice them. It's not just something that just is going to come and automatically. That's what I try to tell Aiden whenever I'm trying to get him to understand, like in school. You're trying to get him to do spelling or something. He thinks that if he just hears the word, he can just jot down a bunch of letters and there's the word. There's the word. That's got to be how it's spelled, because that's how I think it up here. If you don't practice, you're not going to get any better with this. And that's the same thing with what God has instilled with inside of us. If we don't practice these things, if we don't acknowledge him that God has given this to me for a reason, he has given this great riches to me. And isn't the Spirit of God, isn't the attributes of Christ, aren't those riches that beyond anything that we could possibly possess here? But those things we have to work at. Because you know what? Not everybody in this world is friendly. Imagine that. Not everybody in this world is easy to get along with. And I tell you, it's hard sometimes to deal with people. And Jesus, well, we can just read his word. He dealt with many different people in many different ways. He wasn't one that backed off and wasn't too shy about calling some people vipers, calling some people backsliders. He didn't have a problem calling things exactly how they were. He was honest about it. He didn't have a problem dealing with lost people, even though the religious people around him at that day wondered, what in the world would he have to do with those people? Why in the world would he have anything to do with those sinful people? I tell you, we have a treasure with inside of us. If we're going to exercise it, that's up to us. Or if we're just going to bury it and just let it be and think that it's okay, that's up to us. But I think that it is up to us to acknowledge it and then to do something with it. Where is your treasure? I've seen the richest man. I've seen the effect of the richest man that I believe that I'd ever seen the other day when I seen those hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people come through this church. Why? Because Randy stood on a sidewalk someplace and handing them all $100 bills all the time? No. He just was himself around them. He showed them who that he was, and the love of God shined forth through him. His love towards them, that's what shined in their life. And I tell you, it'll make a difference in this world. It really will. And we hope that it makes a difference in our life too. That it'll help us to get home one of these days. Isn't that where we all look to go? We all want to go home. A place that's called heaven, where it's going to be worth anything and everything. Giving up everything here to gain everything there. Isn't that what it's about? It's about priority. What are we going to do with the riches that the Lord has given to us? We have to choose that today, don't we? Song leader, give us a song.